So, as mentioned, my name is Stephanie Bernard. I'm actually a PhD student here at the University of Melbourne, working in astrophysics. So today I'm going to talk to you a little bit about how we look for little first galaxies in the universe, and which is basically my research for my PhD. So if we think about the universe, it's really big. We want to know about it, mainly because it's where we live. And we know if we know more about the early universe, then that helps us to understand the universe today, which is where our galaxy is, the Milky Way, which is where the Earth is, where the Earth came from, all these kind of important things. So just before I continue, two important properties of the universe is that it's expanding and it has a finite speed of light. And so the expansion looks something like this. So if we imagine that we are a galaxy in this beautiful field of galaxies, when we look at galaxies in the sky, we actually see that they're moving away from us. So if we say we're this galaxy on the right, when we look at the galaxies, we see that the galaxies that are closer in, they're moving away, but the galaxies that are further away from us, they're actually moving faster. And so this, like, you can interpret this that we're in the center of the universe and everything's moving away from us, but actually when we move to a different galaxy, that sees exactly the same thing. So it sees the galaxies around it moving away and the galaxies that are further away from it moving faster. So the expansion is driven by something called dark energy, which is very mysterious and takes up around 80% of the universe. I'm not really going to talk any more about it. So we interpret this expansion as that the whole universe is expanding, everything is moving away from everything else. And so if you kind of put that kind of in reverse, you can see that at one point everything would have been in the same point in space. And so we call that the Big Bang. It was about 13.8 billion years ago. And the cool thing about the universe expanding and it having a finite speed of light is that if the space between galaxies is increasing, but the light can't go any faster, it actually takes light a while to catch up, because even though light is really fast, you might know that it's around 300,000 kilometers a second, which is extremely fast, the space between galaxies is even larger. So we have this really nice built-in time machine to the universe where if we look at galaxies that are further away, we're actually looking at them as they were back in time when they were earlier, when they were closer to the Big Bang. And so if we use various different types of telescopes, we can see different distances. So if we start with something like our eyes, so when you look at the sky at night, you can see stars, you can see our own galaxy. But your eye is very, very small. Your retina is only around a centimeter squared. And you don't store up photons. Once the photons come, they stay for a little while, and then your brain kind of gets rid of them. It doesn't care. So we can only see out to around 2 billion light years. This is called the Andromeda Galaxy. This is our closest large neighbor galaxy. And it's very beautiful. We can actually see it with our naked eye in the northern hemisphere. We use something like a kind of consumer telescope. We're increasing the area that we have so we can collect more photons, but we're still not storing them up if we're looking at them with our eyes. With this telescope, we can see something like this beautiful quasar, which is around 3 billion light years away, which is extremely far. You notice that it just looks like a star, though. It's not very interesting. If we want to look at really, really far away things, we need to use kind of the opposite end of the scale, where we use the Hubble Space Telescope, which I'll talk a little bit more about later. But the Hubble Space Telescope is a 2.4-meter mirror in space. And with that, we can see almost to the very edge of the universe. It's called the Hubble Extreme Deep Field. And so this is basically the deepest image ever taken. And so with this, as I'll tell you a little bit more about later, we can start to see some of the very first galaxies in the universe. And to go any further, we actually can't use telescopes like Hubble. We need to go to radio, which are very long wavelength waves. With this, we can see the first light that was emitted in the universe. This is called the cosmic microwave background, and it was taken using the Planck telescope. And these are actually just the seeds of galaxies in the early universe, around 300,000 years after the Big Bang. So as we can see, if we want to take deep observations, we need, firstly, a big telescope, because big telescopes collect more light. And we also need some sort of camera or something that can store up all the photons over a long period of time, like with the extreme deep field. So with ground-based telescopes, so this is one called the SDSS telescope, and it took something called the Sloan Digital Sky Survey. We've actually got lots and lots of observations of galaxies. This telescope has taken spectra of around a million galaxies, which is like a lot. And so if we look at what these observations look like, if we start on the Milky Way, we can actually kind of go out and we can see how these galaxies look at different distances from us. This movie's a little bit slow, so hopefully you can see. So here we're at the point of the Andromeda galaxy. We're going faster than light, so just kind of ignore how unphysical it is. So hopefully, as we zoom out, you guys can start to see that the galaxies are not kind of randomly distributed. They're actually clustered. So if we see one galaxy, we're more likely to see more galaxies around it. Conversely, there are also kind of big bubbles in the universe where there are no galaxies, and they're very dark. So this is getting out to around 10 billion light years away, or almost 4 billion years after the Big Bang. And in a second, so this is from data from the Anglo-Australian Telescope in Australia. It took around 300,000 galaxies. If we add in the Sloan Digital Sky Survey, we can see that it can see galaxies that are much further away. These galaxies are much fainter, so they're really hard to detect. But you see that you still see this kind of, we call them pizza slices, this kind of holy structure going out to very far distances. And so this survey has been really useful for us to see galaxies both close to us, so kind of later, and in the early universe. This is the cosmic microwave background again, so we can't see any further than this. And if we take all these observations of galaxies at different ages, we can start to build up a picture of how the universe evolved. So we know that we are here at the end, and the universe is going to continue in time, obviously. If we look at galaxies that are kind of close to us, we see that they're all kind of similar to the Milky Way, or they're, you know, small dwarf galaxies. As we go back in time, though, if we get to around kind of halfway back, so here, what we actually see is that galaxies tend to be smaller. They tend to be making stars much, much more, much faster, basically. And they're really kind of, they're like kids. They like run around a lot, and we're more like adults, and we're kind of tired. So what we want to know, though, is we want to know about the first stars in the universe. So we have kind of back from like here, this is all like theory. Beyond here is more government observations. So we have this theory that the first stars in the universe would have started to have formed around 100 million years after the Big Bang. So this is not very long. This is not very long after the Big Bang, kind of in the scheme of things. Over time, these first stars start to form the first galaxies. So we think the first galaxies were around 400 million years after the Big Bang. So this is all happening. You can see we've got 13.7 billion years overall. This is all happening in the first 5% of the universe's history. So it's a very, very short period of time, and it's really hard to see. And there's some good reasons for that. It's not just that we're not, you know, trying. So these galaxies, they're really, really far away. If you can think of, if you have a candle in front of your face, it looks really bright. And so galaxies that are close to us, they're very bright. They're kind of easy to see in detail. If your candle is like a kilometre away, though, it's really, really faint. It might actually be hard to see if there's a candle there at all. So that's our number one problem, is that these galaxies are really, really faint. They're also kind of intrinsically small. So our Milky Way is a large thing. It's around 100,000 light years in diameter. These galaxies are more like 1,000 light years in diameter. So they're really, really small, and they're far away. So they're really hard to see. And they're also rare, because we're looking in the very early universe. There just hasn't been very much time for stars and galaxies to form. So if we take an image with Hubble, like this one in the background, this is from the survey that I work on, we might see 2,000 sources, where a source is anything that's bright. So we have stars, kind of the ones with the crosses through them. We have galaxies, like this one that I'm trying to point to. We basically ignore all those. They're very pretty, but they don't help us. And we might find one galaxy in the early universe in this image. And so each of these images takes a long time to take, so it's not a very fast way of doing things. So before I go on, I just want to talk about light. So when we talk about light, light is a particle called a photon. It can also behave like a wave. So you might have come across this in school. And so depending on the energy of the photon, they'll have a different frequency or a different wavelength. And so when we look with our eyes, we're seeing in this visible spectrum. But hopefully you can see that's only a very, very small part of the overall kind of energies of light. So in general, in astrophysics, things that are more energetic, like supernovae, which are exploding stars, or supermassive black holes that let out lots and lots of light, they'll emit energetic photons, so they'll be gamma rays or X-rays. things that are more kind of slow, like galaxies, they don't really do much over time. They're a little bit more like radio waves on the long end of the spectrum. So when we take observations, we have two different types of observations that we can take. We can take images, like this one from Hubble, where we use filters, which are basically like a camera filter. If you put some red cellophane over your camera, you're only going to let red light through. And we use those to choose only specific wavelengths of light. And this tells us where on the sky these objects are. So we can see that here we've got some galaxies. We've also got stars. We can tell where they are on the sky. We can do spectroscopy, which is what the SDSS survey that I mentioned before does. So this is where we take the light that's being emitted by an object and we split it into all the different wavelengths. And then we can see how much light is being emitted at each wavelength. So this is the spectrum of a galaxy, where you've got kind of a stable line, which is called the continuum. This comes from all the stars in the galaxy. But you can also see, and you might not be able to read the labels, this galaxy is also showing signatures of hydrogen, which is not surprising. Hydrogen is the most common element in the universe. And it's also showing signatures of elements like helium, nitrogen, oxygen, all these sort of things. So we use these spectra to tell, firstly, what's in the galaxy. And we also can use it to tell how far away the galaxy is based on where the positions of these signatures are. So I mentioned before that the universe is expanding and the speed of light is finite, which leads to this effect which we call redshift. So if we're in a galaxy on the left and we're looking at a galaxy on the right and it emits a photon, as the galaxy starts to move away from us, this photon actually becomes stretched. So its wavelength increases, and when the wavelength increases, we say that the light becomes redder. And so even though it might have been emitted in the blue, when we pick it up, it looks red. And as we look at things in the very, very early universe, this effect increases and increases. So even though in the early universe we might look at a galaxy that's emitting light in the ultraviolet, so even beyond the blue of the visible spectrum, when we detect it, it's actually at infrared wavelengths, which is beyond the red. So this light is really, really stretched out. And we have this problem. So this is an astronomer's least favorite plot. So this is showing basically our atmosphere blocking light. So we have the transmittance, and so 100% is good. We want that because that means that all of light is coming through our atmosphere. But we can see that we have kind of dips where no light can actually get through. And so this means that if we have a ground-based telescope and we want to look at these infrared galaxies, all the light is actually blocked. We can't look at these from the ground. And so we need to look to Hubble. So a little bit of history. So the Hubble Space Telescope was launched in 1990, so it's older than I am. And it has a 2.4-meter mirror above the atmosphere. So even though it's not the largest telescope in the Earth, there are definitely a lot of telescopes on the ground that have mirrors that are larger than 2.4 meters. Because it's above the atmosphere, it can actually detect all these wavelengths that we can't see. And so in 1996, the Hubble Deep Field was released. So that's this image here, which was taken of a patch of sky that was basically blank. And everyone thought, there's no point taking image of a patch of sky that's blank, you're not going to see anything. But the director of the Space Telescope Science Institute in Baltimore, which is where the Hubble Space Telescope is kind of run from, he said, okay, I'm going to take images of this tiny little patch of sky. So it's the same size as if you had a grain of sand at arm's length. That's how much of the sky this is taking up. It's a very, very small amount. And they looked at it for a month, so over a million seconds, and they found this. And so what you see is that we do have some stars in the image. This kind of one with the cross is one of them. But you see thousands of galaxies, almost 3,000 galaxies in this image. And no one ever thought that these galaxies would be there. They thought that this would just be some blank patch of sky. And so with this imaging, this is just optical imaging, like I mentioned. With this, we can see these galaxies out to a million years after the Big Bang. But that wasn't quite enough. And so in 2009, a new instrument was installed on Hubble. So we used to have in the US a system where the space shuttle could fly up to Hubble and put new instruments on. This doesn't happen anymore. So this is kind of our last major upgrade of Hubble. And they found this. This is called the ultra deep field. It's the same as the extreme deep field, basically, that I showed before. And with this, we've added in imaging of the same field in the infrared. And so with this, you can actually see galaxies even further. And I'll tell you why this is kind of important, having this deep infrared imaging. So with the Hubble Deep Field, we could see out to about 1 billion years after the Big Bang. With the Ultra Deep Field, we can see out to around 700 million years after the Big Bang. And you might say, well, this is not that much time. Why do we bother? But actually, the universe undergoes a really massive change around 800 million years after the Big Bang, where beforehand, it was filled with hydrogen, which was in a neutral state. So if you guys know about hydrogen, you have a proton, an electron. The proton is orbited by the electron. When this is kind of in this neutral configuration, it really absorbs ultraviolet light really well, which is really annoying for us because we want to see the ultraviolet light from the galaxies there.